Well, praise God. It's just, I wasn't sure I was going to be here this morning in the middle of the night, but there you go. The enemy doesn't want us to be here, hearing his word and moving in the power of his word, but God has a different agenda, and we live not in what the enemy wants, but in the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's overcome all the powers of the evil one. And I'm glad we started with that song, and it's a song that came from Scripture. It's not just some songwriter's songs, but 1 John 3 verse 8 says, "For this purpose Christ was revealed, to destroy all the works of the evil one." And I think that's really, really important to us, that we actually realize that already Jesus has, and that's the starting point from where we go in the word and where the Lord takes us today, right from where we started with that song, Jesus came to destroy all the works of the evil one. And it's done. You know, sometimes we spend too much of our time trying to destroy the enemy when the Lord's already destroyed the enemy. What we need to do is bring in the kingdom of God. And it's interesting, just as I was sitting at home for a little bit longer this morning and I flicked on the UCB Christian channel, and there was a guy from Northern Ireland, I think it was Northern Ireland anyway, and he was preaching, and I thought, has he got my notes? And then I walk in and start talking to David and Maureen, thank you. And they're quoting scriptures that I've got in my notes. And you think, well, perhaps the Lord's got something to say here. And, you know, as Maretta was praying earlier and we read that psalm, that we're meant to be alert. Now, you know, the Lord needs alerts. And are you alert? L-E-R-T, living expectantly, rejoicingly, triumphant. I'll do that one. There you go. There's a mnemonic for you. Living expectantly, rejoicingly, triumphant. Alert. So be alert and work for the Lord. Sound the trumpet is what I've said this morning. And it's very much in what God is already doing. I'm not saying bringing something to you here to say this is where we should be, but trying to recognize what God is doing so that we can actually enter in, if it's possible, more fully, or just give thanks for what he's doing and realize that this is something that he wants us to be living in. I think it's great when suddenly the Lord moves in our midst and it's his work and it's not ours. How many times in the past have we tried to organize prayer meetings and we get 6 people or 8 people or 10 people, and then a week later it's 3 people or 2 people. And a couple of weeks ago we crowded into Margaret's front room and literally, Connie, well, there was standing room only, and again yesterday and 20-odd people. I don't think we've ever had a prayer meeting in the church where we've had 20-odd people. It's because God is at work in our midst. And God is motivating us by the power of his Spirit and by love that he's given us in our hearts towards people we care about. And somebody sounded a trumpet. A watchman sounded the trumpet. I won't try and do that. I could have brought my saxophone and done a fanfare. We sounded a trumpet and people rallied to the sound of the trumpet. And because of that, a couple of weeks I started reading Nehemiah. And Nehemiah 4:20 here, it says, "At whatever place you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there, and God will fight for us." You see, now Nehemiah, this is a guy in the Old Testament days when Israel had gone through all this where they'd failed and they'd just not driven out the land and they didn't keep the words of the Lord and they got carried off to Babylon and they were going to be living in exile for 70 years. Nehemiah, from his place of exile, said, "I believe, Lord, you're calling me to go back and to rebuild Jerusalem, the walls of Jerusalem." And he went to the king, and the king said, "Okay." He says, "What do you need? I'll write you an open check. Take what you like and go and build it." Wow. Favor before the king. And he went back. But they met opposition as they went to see the church of God being built. They met opposition from Tobiah and Sambalat and others who came against them. And they came to a point where they even feared physical attack. So they said, well, everybody goes up and everybody's going to work on building their bit of the wall. And you have a sword stuck through your belt and somebody will have a trumpet. And if it looks like we're going to get attacked, somebody will blow the trumpet. And when you hear the trumpet, rally to us there and we'll beat the living daylights out of the enemy. No, he doesn't say that. He says, rally to us there, and God will fight for us. And that's what God is saying to us right now as a fellowship. When you hear the trumpet sound, if you rally, I will fight for you. Because the battle is his. And it's a battle that he's already won. Praise God. And it's isn't that fun to enter into a battle that you know the victories are actually assured? Gee, how many guys go into war as soldiers would think, yeah, I don't mind if we know the battle, if the victory's won. And we get very comfortable and forget really what our life about on this earth is about and forget that we're actually in a battle. We don't really want to think that we're in a battle, but there is a battle and it's a spiritual battle. And we're exhorted to pray. And Jesus, when he said to pray in Matthew 6:10, he said, pray, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. He didn't say pray, bind the enemy and shout at demons and stuff. He said, pray that the kingdom of God comes. Now we have authority over demons, but he actually says, bring the kingdom in. Yeah. And in the situations we've been praying for in the last couple of prayer meetings, it's been about bringing the kingdom of God in, submitting to God and knowing that as we're submitted to God, then the enemy flees and we resist him. Yes, we resist him and he flees from us, but we bring the kingdom of God in, a kingdom of power and love, of healing and strength and deliverance, and we bring the kingdom of God in. And we're meant not to just do it in the walls of the city, but we're meant to do it for this neighborhood and out there. One thing as I was reading Nehemiah, it really struck me. There's a bit where you read through and he goes through who built which bits of the walls and all that. And it said, and the perfumers built this section of the wall. And how about that? Guys who work with flowers and crushing oils and making lovely smells. And they got up and worked with bricks and mortar and chisels and hammer and built the wall. There are seasons for us all where we need to do what needs to be done. And we're in that season right now as a church that God is saying, hear the rallying call, come and build, come and be in the fight, come and be a prayer warrior for us, for the kingdom of God. And we've been woken up by that trumpet call. And praise God, he equips us for the fight. Hallelujah. Ephesians 6 talks about the armor of God. And it says, having the armor, it says, stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. We're meant to stand firm. The girdle of truth, the word of God. You know, there are preachers, I listened to John Hagee a bit this morning, and I know there's another guy I listen to, and they hold up the Bible and say, this is the word of God. It is, you know, I can do what it says I can do. I am what it says I am, and so on, and make that confession. That is the girdle of truth. The word of God, powerful in our lives, and the breastplate of righteousness, not letting all the rubbish of the world cling to us, but taking on us, not our own righteousness, but the righteousness that we're given in Christ. Hallelujah. See, if it was about us, about us trying to get our own breastplate polished and shiny enough, it'd look a mess. But praise God, he gives us from his righteousness, from the glory of heaven, hallelujah, he robes us with an armor so bright that the enemy cannot look upon it. And in Matthew 16:19, he says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth, so there is a binding on earth, shall have been bound in heaven. See that? It's been done. Shall have been bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. What God wants to establish has already been established in the heavenly places. And where are we? We are seated with Christ in heavenly places. So we can have confidence that we are equipped for a fight. Therefore, the verse before that one says, take up the full armor of God so that you'll be able to resist in the evil day and to have done, and having done everything, to stand firm. You know, it's very easy in when attacks come upon us to feel that we're swaying, to feel that Martin said to me, why are you holding on to the bar this morning? I was feeling like, you know, I was a bit dizzy and woozy. I mean, and the Lord says, stand firm. And there have been many of us sitting here this morning that have had attacks from the enemy in the last few weeks. And there are moments where you get hit by the blow and you reel for a moment. That's the truth of it. That's the reality of it. We reeled when certain things were happening for us. brought huge grief and sense of loss to us in our family. And then suddenly you feel the Lord shore you up and saying, but have I said this? And suddenly you feel that firm planting. So I'm not saying you don't necessarily feel the blow from the enemy's attack, and that you for a moment reel and feel there that moment of, whoa, what's happening? And then the word of the Lord comes. And the rock is planted under your feet. Hallelujah. And 1 John 5 verse 4 through 5 says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Again, past tense, he has overcome the world, our faith. Who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So to be in the victory, we've got to be believing in who Jesus is. Praise God for the songs we're singing this morning, that we're singing songs of victory, songs of triumph, but my Redeemer lives. Whoa, isn't that just incredible? We're not looking at a historical figure, something that's happened in the past. We're not looking to someone who died hundreds of years ago who said something rather clever, and we're trying to emulate their cleverness. We are coming to someone who is alive and able to help us because he is seated in the heavenly places. Hallelujah. We come to a living Redeemer. I know that my Redeemer lives. And those words came from a guy who stood the attacks of the enemy like we cannot imagine. And he said, I know that my Redeemer lives, in Job 42. We're exhorted to take up what is available to us. God has made available to us an armor, a victory, a sword for the fight. But if we don't take it up, if we don't put ourselves in the position, then we're not going to find ourselves in the victory. Now, that's all he asks of us, is to avail ourselves of what he's given us and to stand in it. That's it. That's all you've got to do. Take it on and stand. And if you're not taking it on, you have to think, what is the matter with me? I've been gifted with powerful weapons and armor and protection and a victory, and all I've been asked to do is to say yea and amen and stand. And sometimes when those blows come from there, we reel and we forget what the Lord has given us. We're overcomers because we're born again, not in the flesh but in the spirit, and he, the living Redeemer, is living in us. Hallelujah. It's awesome. It's just so exciting. And that spirit that lives within us is a spirit of love and truth. And love is the power that overcomes. Love is what defeated death and hell at Calvary. Yes. He didn't come down with chariots filled with angels and flaming swords and things like that to carry him off to heaven and pluck him off the cross. Love took him to offer himself as a sacrifice that he could defeat death and hell. And love to us is the victory. Love is what brought us together in prayer yesterday. Not a, oh, I think we should pray. Oh, maybe if we ask the Lord nicely, he'll do something for us. Love for Debbie brought us together yesterday to say, Lord, enough. We're sick of the enemy playing and meddling in your place. Love brought us together. Love was the power that brings down the Holy Spirit. Love is the word that brings the victory. And we have to learn from that. Because it's reasonably easy for us to love Debbie. But how about somebody outside of the room that we think is perhaps not so lovable? Somebody who's not with the Lord. It's harder, isn't it? But love is still the key. Love is still the victory. Love is the thing that brings us to prayer. And it's something we need to do and learn more in our prayer life, to make love be the motivation of what we do. Verses, again, very familiar verses to us, 2 Corinthians 4:10. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. And the weapon I was just talking about is love. Love, the declaration of the kingdom of God into this earth. And it's divinely powerful. It's not It's not by my grit and determination, by I'll get through this because I'll just doggedly, you know, hang on. It's knowing that I abandon myself into the loving arms of God that will never fail and declare the power of that love into the situation that I find myself in or I see somebody else in. That is a weapon that pulls down strongholds and defeats fortresses. Wow. Isn't it incredible? We see these things raised up against us, and there are times when our head goes, oh no, I can't take any more of this. Oh, how will this ever be resolved? And the word of love comes from us, the word of encouragement when God from his Father's heart speaks into our heart and says, but have I not said, will I ever leave you? Will I ever forsake you? Can anything separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus? Can tribulation or storm or peril, anything, you throw it at it. It says, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And the word comes and takes a grip back. And our mind pulls back into line. And we start to take those spiritual fortresses. Nothing happens here on earth that hasn't, that's what the scriptures were saying earlier, hasn't already been established in the heavens. We think, you know, David Cameron was on telly this morning thinking he's got some authority and power to make decisions. You know, if it hasn't already happened in the heavenly places, it's not happening here. There is no authority outside of Jesus Christ. Men who delude themselves into thinking they have power and authority in this earth are fools. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. And for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, Ephesians 6 here, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. The enemy is taking world systems by force. And people live in fear. We were talking about that earlier this morning. Bringing fear into people's lives. Ruling people's lives by fear. That's the work of the enemy. But we can carry the kingdom of God into that place where there is no fear. And people can be liberated from the fear of the world and come into the safety of the kingdom of God where there is no fear. Hallelujah. But it does demand us as individuals working on our relationship with the Lord so we can be fully engaged with the Father. Living in the Spirit, listening to him, being in agreement with him, being confident in his unfailing love. Matthew 8:19 says, again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth, so here, not just in heaven, two of you agree on earth about anything they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. Anything that you agree on earth, gosh, I don't think we really believe that. In the prayer meeting yesterday, we believed it because the Spirit of God came and we sensed and felt the Spirit lift us in faith and words came out that we believed. But I'm sure there are times when we pray and we use those words and say, Lord, we all agree about this, so you're going to do it, and we don't really believe it. We need to be careful and say, well, Lord, actually, I want to believe it, and right now I don't, so help me to believe. Like the one who came to him and said, Lord, help my unbelief. Be honest, because then when we come to an agreement, it'll happen. You know, many of us have seen incredible things in prayer meetings and in prayer times where the power of God has come. We should be living in that just constantly. So Lord, grow us as your people here, grow us as individuals, but grow us as a church. Build up the walls around us, re-establish that, establish the watchtowers again and the gates, and make this place a place where we're in that place constantly, where we can believe and see the glory of God coming in our midst. Isaiah 62, verses 6 and 7. On your walls, O Jerusalem, I have appointed watchmen all day and all night. They will never keep silent. You who remind the Lord, take no rest for yourselves and give him no rest until he establishes and makes Jerusalem a praise to the earth. So for Jerusalem, read church. So the story's told in pictures below. There's a watchtower. There's the people praying and giving rest. And there's the watchman on the other side who's taking time for his rest in himself, being a watchman of a different kind. And can you identify with that watchman sometimes on that side, that perhaps actually some of your time is spent being that watchman instead of the watchman on the tower in prayer? I'm not saying TV's wrong. But it's very easy, isn't it, to be distracted by things in the world. But I think this verse is just really, really important. He says, on your walls, O Jerusalem, I have appointed watchmen. So we've just talked about the wall built around us, which is something given by God, established by his power. And on that wall there are towers where watchmen are. God, praise God, has given us faithful watchmen here. And some of you know who you are. And you're faithful in prayer and intercession. And we need you. We need you to blow the trumpet at the right time. And we need to respond. I thank God that he's established watchmen in this place. Brought people here to us and back to us to be those people who will pray and not give God rest. That's what he says. Don't give him rest. Do you know he likes that? You know, if it was us with our kids and we had that pester factor with the kids, oh, for goodness sake, we get fed up with the pester factor, isn't it? Dad can have, Dad can have, Dad can have, Dad can have. It's like, well, shut up or you'll give in because you just, you know. But he loves it because he wants us to be attentive to him. He wants us to be with him. He wants us to be in that place. He enjoys our pester factor. He says, give him no rest. Give him no rest. He can cope with it, you know. The eternal God can cope with his children praying to him continually. Isn't that amazing? Until he establishes and makes this church a praise to his name here in Broadfield. Well, it's happening. God has started a work in us that it's just incredible to see that he's just doing something. We try and think up all kinds of schemes and do stuff. And then because the enemy comes and attacks us and has a go at people, but the Lord comes in like a flood. And he raises up his banner. And his banner over me is love. He's doing a work in us, folks. Let's not tire of it. Let's not miss it. Let's not try and reorganize it. Let's allow him to do what he wants to do. I sense we're on the edge of something fantastic. I've been saying that for a while, but I'm just now in the last couple of weeks seeing all the things that have been happening to people, all the attacks that have come, just make me think and realize we're just in an exciting time. Luke 18:1, he was telling them in a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart. At all times, Jesus said, pray and don't lose heart. And Luke 21:36, but keep on the alert. Oh, there's the alerts again. At all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. So having that alertness, being ready. Ephesians 6:18, we've been quoting this from this chapter a lot. With all prayer and petition, pray once in a while. No, you know it doesn't say that. It says, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert, is another alert. With all perseverance and petition for the saints. So we're meant to encourage and pray for each other. But it says all times. If you're satisfied with 10 minutes in the morning or an evening, you're missing what God wants. And you say, well, I'm at work all day. How can I be praying all day? Well, you just say, Lord, here's my spirit. It's available to you. You prompt me. You groan inside me. You pray. And if I need to find a moment to shout in the street or in the office, then do so. But you can pray at all times. You can, because it's the spirit in us. It's not you by your effort. It's the spirit in you. He alerts you to something. You see something on the news. You see something on the TV. You see something in the street. And your heart aches and cries out. And you pray. And he does it. He does it. Hallelujah. Understand the nature of the fight. This is Samuel, from Samuel, 1 Samuel 17. And David goes up against Goliath. We know the story fairly well, I think. And David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted." We're being taunted at the moment by the enemy. And he comes at us with physical attacks. And we say, "You come at us with this, but we come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands. Well, I will strike you down and remove your head from you. And I will give you the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's. And he will give you into his hands." The battle is the Lord's. David fought a battle here, and the Lord gave him victory. He hadn't yet won the war. But one battle at a time brings victory and honor to the Lord. And we need to learn that there will be not just one battle and it's finished. That the battles will come. But the battle belongs to the Lord. And if we anchor ourselves with him and his truth and his word, he will show himself victorious in a glorious way. Just wanted to just look at some of the stages of attack, because we're told to be alert. So let's be alert and look at some of these stages of attack that the enemy brings to us. And I think it's interesting. I don't necessarily say that the enemy works in this sequence, but it just struck me that for me there was a sequence here. But I'm not saying that's the way it always works. Condemnation. That's his first attack on a Christian's. "You're rubbish. Look at you, you just failed again. See, that sin you thought you'd overcome. Done it again, haven't you?" And we go straight to Romans 5 and say, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk every day in the Spirit of the Lord." And I walk every day in the Spirit of the Lord, not because it's my strength, not because I'm super spiritual, but because his Spirit lives in me and he's made me a new creation. Therefore, I walk by the Spirit of the Lord. That's the truth. My idiot mind goes to different places. But I walk by the Spirit of the Lord. You see, sometimes I think, you know, we're just not giving the Lord enough credit for what he's done, making us new. We make some stupid decision and do something foolish, and we say, "Oh, I'm just in the flesh again. Oh." Actually, no, you're dead. Your flesh has been crucified. So you can turn around to the enemy and say, "So? I am redeemed. I am cleansed by the blood of Christ. I come to him repentant. I come to him knowing I'm forgiven. I come robed in his righteousness. I come raised up by him, seated with him in heavenly places." There is no condemnation. And for those of us who know the word and live in the word a bit more, that one's an easier one to get to. But sometimes we still have that now and again. Discouragement. He likes to discourage us. In Nehemiah 4, there they were doing a really good work, and they'd had favour from the king and all kinds of stuff going along, and these guys come along and say, "That's rubbish, that wall you're building. That's rubbish. If a butterfly lands on it, it'll fall over." They didn't say that. They said if a fox jumps on it. He said, "It's rubbish." And the enemy comes to us and he looks at what we are in the kingdom of God, and he says, "You think you're doing anything significant in the kingdom of God? You must be joking. You've got delusions of grandeur. Who do you think you are?" And you say, "I'm born again by the Spirit of God. I am a son of the King, of the Most High God, who gives me all things in heavenly places." And he's, "That's who I am." And we answer him with a word, just the same as Jesus did. But he will come and try and discourage you. He'll come and discourage you. And again, sometimes we go, "Oh, yeah, it wasn't very good, was it? Oh, that didn't turn out the way I wanted it to." Doubt of God's word, deception and lies. Again, Nehemiah 6, the guys came against him and said, well, we're going to go and tell the king that you're raising yourself up to be a king in Jerusalem. See, we'll get you sorted out, mate. And they came and taunted him and tried to bring him out so they could fight with him in the desert. But he wouldn't go out to meet them. He didn't give their lies any credence. Because he knew it wasn't true. He knew what the king had said to him. He got the letters. So he stayed with it. He didn't feel he had to justify himself. He just got on with the work he was given to do. He said, I haven't got time to come and talk to you lot. I've got this wall to build. And he got on with it. And too often, deception and lies. Did God really say, Genesis 3 verse 1, Satan comes. Did God really say, the word of God has come to you and it's doing a good work in you, and the enemy comes and says, did God really say that to you? And all you have to do is say, yeah, he did. So there. Which is kind of what Nehemiah said. And go back to it and say, Lord, I believe you. I choose to believe what you said to me. And stand on it. So, condemnation, discouragement, doubt and lies. I was really struggling for this word. Didn't get the right word, but we'll make do with this one. He deride. Creates division and disloyalty. He wants to make you, belittle you in front of others. Get some criticism going against you. Bring division in the church. See, no good are they, this bunch. See, leaders of this or leaders of that or whatever. And he brings lies. Divide. Lies always divide. That's why God hates a liar. Truth always brings together. And Numbers 16, that's when Korah and the whole load came against Moses and tried to usurp Moses' authority. And God dealt with them in no short shrift way. But the enemy wants to divide us. He wants to breed disloyalty, and it's a time to stand firm together. It's the time to say, Lord, I know you've put me here with these people, and I trust you. I might not understand everything that's done in every way. I might not understand that person or why they're like this or why they're like that. But Lord, you've put us together. So I won't listen to the lies of the enemy, what he says about others. Lord, if I'm concerned about someone or something's troubling me about a relationship, then I need to come to you. And I need to pray for that person, that, Lord, you bless them and that you'll show me what's wrong in my heart and how to bless them. That's how we deal with that. Because rebellion in the kingdom of God is one of the things that destroys churches and destroys the work quicker than anything. And then physical attacks. And that's what's been happening amongst us. When he can't get through because you keep quoting the word at him, when he can't get through because you stand firm, then he's going to swipe at you physically. And he has done. And it hasn't been against us directly in some cases. It's been our family. People we love. People who are a bit less protected in a sense than we are because they're more vulnerable. Perhaps they're not in the kingdom yet. Or perhaps new to the kingdom. And the enemy takes a swipe. Do you know, because all he wants to do is to destroy the flesh so he can carry a soul to hell. That's what he wants to do. He doesn't want to be on his own in hell. He wants to take the pinnacle of God's creation with him. In John 17, verse 2, as Jesus was praying, he says, even as you, Father, gave him, that's the Son of Man, authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. Jesus has been given authority over all flesh because of what he did on Calvary. His ultimate sacrifice, his blood avails for all. His forgiveness is available for all. And Jesus has authority over all flesh. So the enemy comes and he attacks in the flesh, but Jesus has authority. And when I put physical attacks there, I put Acts of the Apostles and I put Job as well. Because in the Acts of the Apostles, we saw they were opposed. Stephen, very quickly opposed. And he died. But hallelujah, what a death. He saw angels in heaven and he was carried off. He didn't fear it. And Paul and the others were beaten and imprisoned. But did it stop them preaching the gospel? Did it stop the progress of the gospel? No. In fact, it usually advanced the progress of the gospel. So the enemy takes a physical sideswipe. And with Job, the Lord said, have you considered Job, what a good man he is? And the enemy destroys everything around him. And when that doesn't change Job's heart, he says, let me touch his flesh. And the Lord says, even then, he'll be faithful. And he touches him in his flesh and strikes him with terrible illness and pain. And he has nothing left. Even his wife says, curse God and die. And Job says, but I know that my Redeemer lives. Hallelujah. So the enemy comes, and when he's tried everything else, he'll take a swipe, a physical swipe. I'm not saying it won't hurt. I'm not saying there won't be pain, there won't be suffering in that physical swipe. But all authority over all flesh belongs to Jesus. And there are people in our family, in our lives right now, whose lives are threatened with illness. And my prayer and my confidence in that prayer is, Jesus, you have won the authority over their flesh. Their time is in your hands. And therefore, Lord, I pray that the enemy will not steal their life until you have redeemed their soul. Because then he can have their flesh life. Because he can't do anything to their eternal soul. And I believe that prayer has authority and power because it's based on Jesus' priestly prayer. Because he says, it's to them all whom you have given me that I can give them eternal life. That's how we're meant to pray. That's how we overcome the last attack of the enemy. That he threatens us with death, but Jesus has authority over the grave. There is nothing the enemy can throw at us where Jesus has not already won the victory. Nearly at the end. 2 Chronicles 2:15, he said to them, listen, all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says to the Lord to you, do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Sometimes we see the multitude. Psalm 24, verse 7 and 8, lift up your head, O gates, and be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle. You know, you can trust him because he cannot fail, because in Jesus the victory is won. So we need to enter into what he has done. 2 Chronicles 32:7, when Hezekiah was due to be attacked by Sennacherib. Be strong and courageous, do not fear or be dismayed because of the king of Assyria, that's Sennacherib, nor because of all the horde that is with him, for the one with us is greater than the one with him. Power of God, the victory in Christ, the captain of the host, greater than all the enemy can throw at them. And 1 John 4:4 echoes the same thing. You are from God, little children, you have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And it's talking about Satan and his host. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. If you're under attack, if your life is in a mess, you need to abandon yourself into the unfailing love and the unfailing arms of our Lord. If you're already his, then take up the battle cry. If you're not his, then abandon yourself to him now. And he will bring victory into your life. Come together in agreement, not just with someone else, but with him. With the Father himself. That we should not lose heart. That we should know the power of God in our lives. And this is the benediction. From Jude. But you, beloved, ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they were saying to you, that in the last times there will be mockers, following after their ungodly lusts. These are the ones who cause divisions, worldly minded, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life, and having mercy on some who are doubting, save others, snatching them out of the fire, hallelujah, and on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy, to the only God our Saviour, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion and authority before all time, now and forever. Wow. I commend those verses to you to read again. Wow. Those are real wow verses. They just encapsulate everything that I've just said. Being built up in your most holy faith, standing in the victory, praying in the Holy Spirit, snatching them from the fire, hallelujah. That's what he wants us to be doing. Knowing that the victory over the enemy is assured and the glory of the kingdom will come in this place. Amen, hallelujah. Let's just pray, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Indeed, we give thanks with a grateful heart. Indeed, we say, thank you, Lord, the battle belongs to you. Indeed, Lord, we want to abandon ourselves to your unfailing love. For any who don't know that joy yet of knowing your salvation, I pray you'd touch their lives today. And for us who know you, Lord, help us to be faithful to your word, to hear the battle cry, the sound of the trumpet that you sound around us right now, that we would respond in faithfulness to you. Hallelujah. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.